to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good afternoon and welcome to the June 21st Summer Solstice special session of the Los Osos Community Services District. And could we have a roll call, please, Ms. Kudar?
Director Sennett?
Here.
Director Tacker?
Here.
President Sasenya?
Here.
Thank you.
I don't think we have any old reporting from old closed sessions this evening, so you can see the limited closed session agenda there, and we'll take public comment on that at this time.
Well, other than that.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Yeah, nice. Bo Cooper. I had a question about the closed session stuff about a bankruptcy. I've been asking around, and nobody really knows what's going on. So I'd like to find out. I don't expect all the details of your negotiating position, but I would like to know about what principles, what you're going in with, saying, no, you guys deserve nothing because of such and such. What is your position, opening position? What's the status now? Are we negotiating individually with people with different aspects of, and so on and so forth? You know I'm asking. Also, my other question is Richard LeGros still involved with that process? I never actually heard if he got challenged and if he's still doing it. If it's too late to do anything now, but he ought not to be there, that's a comment. So that's with the bankruptcy. The other thing is just about affordability. The 218 is coming up, and I do have a sense that the board has a duty to make sure that it is affordable, which means nobody needs to leave their home. We've all seen the charts. We all know that the project is innately unaffordable, and I think you have an obligation as a board to come out against the 218 if the project is unaffordable. What that means right now is we need to fight in order to keep it affordable. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was sort of on topic. Regarding the bankruptcy, we are still negotiating with the county. And once we resolve issues with the county about how properties are going to be dealt with, then we can move on to dealing with the creditors committee and the bigger picture. And that's about where we're at. So we have a long way to go still. And Richard LeGros is not on the creditors committee. He was removed probably a month ago. He resigned. So other than that, I have no idea what kind of involvement he has.
David England, Los Osos. Did he resign in a huff or unusual circumstances? Maybe in protest. Who knows? Who cares? Regional board suing for injunctive release, I guess. Relief. Major B. Why? You no longer have the wastewater purview. It's not in the county's hands yet. What are they looking for injunctive relief? They're wasting your money and they're wasting the state's money. We should call them on that. Measure B, I've gotten to the point to where, yes, I will support Los Osos having an ordinance that will work in the health and safety area of any wastewater facility within the urban reserve line that uses dangerous chemicals that could cause deleterious fumes that can harm persons that live within the community. And if you'd like to strike up a committee to look at Measure B again, I'd like to be part of that. And regardless of what happened to Measure B, you can adopt your own ordinances, as well as water ordinance for the same reason. For any collection system that might harm the waters of the state as well as your water as a water purveyor, I think you're entitled to pass ordinances for chemical process for wastewater as well as a collection system to guard against somebody harming the waters of the state as well as the waters of the purveyor of the LLCSD. I think you're entitled. And you should probably jump on that as soon as possible, too, and see if that's legal or not. I believe it should be. It's a health and welfare issue, or health and safety issue, and not a land use issue. Thank you.
Any further public comment?
Chris Alveolo Sosos, CDO number 1019. This is sort of a public service thing here. We just recently had our septic tank pumped, and there was some sheets of paper that made it all the way from the house down to the tank and hadn't begun to dissolve yet. And we always get septic safe toilet paper. Well, between my neighbor and me, I scared up about five different brands. And years ago, they showed us how to do the twirl test, where you take a little glass of water, you stir a sheet of toilet paper up in it, twice this way, twice that way, and the good stuff should start to fall apart. Well, out of the five brands, only one did that, and it was this Safeway. Safeway Deluxe or something like that. Let me see here. Yeah, Select.
Is this related to a lawsuit or a personnel item that's on the agenda?
No, it isn't related to anything. I just thought that we aren't getting, in these stores here, we're not getting the right paper we need to keep these septic tanks going. And if mine made it, I mean, if a sheet of paper can make it, well, approximately 60 feet through the effluent without breaking apart, you're going to jam up that leach field.
What was the brand that you picked number one?
Safeway Select. It's at
Vons.
It's at Vons, I believe.
Yeah, thank you.
And every one of these other five brands had Septic Safe on the packaging somewhere. Well, they're not doing it.
Thank you. Any further public comment tonight on closed session agenda items?
Richard Margetson, the last two closed sessions I've asked for, I discussed the billings for Shauna Sullivan, the process the board has been going through, determining how she's going to be paid, what she's going to be paid, for how long she's going to be paid. And there's an agenda item this evening dealing with some of her recent bills. This is the entire staff report to the board. And there's no mention in here anything about staff will be making a presentation tonight for explanation purposes. At this point, we made public records requests, and all we got were the date of the work done and the number of hours spent. You have some real problems communicating with the community on this item. And it's not just myself. There's other people who have voiced concern about this. The objective back when you adopted this was you were going to pay 25% up to a certain limit. Now this staff report says that staff recommends that Sullivan Associates be paid in full for all the invoices submitted in 06-07 not to exceed the original limit of $35,000. I don't ever remember that limit being set publicly. And I asked at, I think it was the last time I talked about this, when you guys announced out of closed session that you were hiring her, if there was a cap on this. And Chuck, I think you said there was no cap. Now there's a $35,000 cap that has never been discussed publicly. There's a disconnect here. And, you know, for there not to be any accompanying documents. And this implies that PISLDIF and Clean Water are going to be, if these bills, which we don't know, came to $35,000, that they're putting up $105,000? They have $105,000 to contribute to this if the $35,000 limit is hit? You ran, all of you ran on transparency. And I'm not asking for the bills to be non-redacted, but some explanation of what this community is paying for. You're responsible for taxpayer dollars. And it's getting to be the point where transparency's available when it's convenient. And I'm going to push this again tonight, and I hope one of the board members makes this an issue tonight that they want to see more substance behind this agenda item. Thank you.
I'll address a few of your comments now. I didn't realize there was a $35,000 cap either, and I don't really believe that's a hard number the board's decided on. We haven't paid anywhere near that. July 6th in Watsonville is obviously a critical date. Water board hearing that day. There may be actions taken to vacate previously issued CDOs. That's my hope, because Chairman Young stated that he wanted everyone treated equally and fairly, and they've already backed off actions against others. So it seems to me only right that they follow through and drop the actions against the people they've already filed against. And at that point, we'll have a real decision to make about, do you continue on just hoping to recover attorney's fees, or do we let sleeping dogs lie? It's a decision point there, certainly. And we'll try and get more information to you other than non-redacted bills. Yes, Anna Jane.
The original staff report on Sullivan Associate bills did have a staff recommended limit of $35,000 for the 06-07 year, and I developed this staff report from the two previous staff reports. Then there was community concern about what account and fund that these bills were going to be paid from. So we readdressed that with another staff report saying that we agreed that they should be paid from admin legal funds. And at the time, the budget did not seem to allow for enough under legal to cover this as well as previous legal bills we were committed to. And so staff recommended that we just do this budgeted. We did a line item budget adjustment that allowed only up to $7,000. So then with now being almost at the end of our fiscal year, we do have enough to pay the remaining bills. And this is not expected to reach anywhere close to that $35,000. But because we had set that before in a staff report, that's why I referred back to it. I did actually speak yesterday to Shauna about, you know, because when we get a public records request, then we just, you know, forward on to the lawyer, we need these bills redacted. And how they redact them is really then, you know, their part. And so I spoke to her about the concerns of the community and saying that, you know, really we usually got a little bit more information, and that if there was, you know, a half an hour item on there versus a 5.5 hour item, you know, couldn't there be something about, you know, were you preparing documents for a hearing or something? And she said, yeah, she saw the point. And she said in the future she would try to do that. And I said, well, if you were to do it on the past bills, hint, hint, that I would reissue those to the people who had requested them, if the public records request. So she's going to go back and look at those and see how she can do that in her system.
Well, I think the March bill was the last one I had seen, and it seemed pretty detailed in terms of time spent, what it was spent on. So I understand now the $35,000 was the original estimate from her for top end of what could be
and the
expected.
Board had, yeah, and the board had agreed, you know, if it was really going to go above that, we should revisit this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it is not. I do have, you know, the information about how much we've been billed, and I even asked her for estimates for the bills we don't have. And I thought it was maybe appropriate in open session to provide some of that information.
Okay. We do need to stop this discussion now and have it in open session this evening.
My last point is, you don't set limits on staff reports. Go back to the resolution when you decided to retain her services the first time. There was a limit on there, and it wasn't $35,000. It wasn't $35,000.
It was $7,000 with the understanding that the total bill in the end could be more. But we were comfortable at the time with authorizing $7,000 because that's where we thought we could make an easy line item adjustment at the time. I believe that's where the $7,000 came from. Further discussion in open session so that everyone will have that information. Any further public comment on closed session agenda items? Okay, seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session and be back here at 7:30. Thank you.
Director Sennett.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll join me and salute the flag, we'll get our meeting started nearly on time for a change.
Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening and welcome to the June 21st Summer Solstice Special Meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District. And could we have a roll call, please, Ms. Kudart?
Director Sennett?
Here.
Director Tacker?
Here.
Vice President Sparks?
Here.
President Cecenia?
Here.
Thank you.
And Council Murphy, could we have a report at a closed session?
Good evening, Mr. President. In closed session, your board discussed matters of pending litigation and personnel matters. In addition, your board has decided to... Your board considered matters of pending litigation as well as personnel matters and directed the interim general manager and president to negotiate with the utilities manager. In addition, your board has made the decision to adjourn at 9 p.m. this evening to closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B to discuss pending litigation in re Los Osos Community Services District ND0610548 in the United States Bankruptcy Court, and you will return at a time certain which you will announce when you do adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you. As you've just heard, we do have a special closed session. We're going to be talking with Jay Michelson later, and so we want to try and keep the meeting on track tonight. So I would appreciate when it's time for comment if maybe a speaker or two would line up at the lectern, and we'll just try and keep things moving. And with that, we'll move on to general action item A, proposed rate structure to implement the fiscal year 07-08 Mission Country disposal rate increase. And I'm sure we have a little staff report on that in here. Do we? Let's see. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Basically, what's happening is we are going to consider raising the franchise fee that is associated with Mission Country disposal to the 10% that the rest of the communities in the county, probably 90% of them, I think, are at 10% right now. And we've been 5, 6, 3? Where are we at now?
We're currently at
4.85%.
And before that, I think it was 6?
Okay.
Not sure. Anyway, it's been 3 years since
right.
We've had a rate increase.
We've been absorbing the rate increases from Mission up until now by chopping the franchise fee. And we're going to bump that to the 10% that seems pretty common throughout the county. And Mr. Milanes, did you have anything else to present with that?
There it is, 4.85. I can. Thank you,
President Cecina. Anna Jane and I, kind of in combination, produced the staff report, but as you've noted, what we're looking to do is increase the rate so the district enjoys the 10% franchise fee that is pretty typical for all the other counties and CSDs in the area. What we've done is the staff recommends this rate increase be done across the board. Certainly the board can, we can look at doing something other than that, but this seems to be the most equitable way to kind of spread this out for all the users. I've got a couple basically figures here of what that means to the residents, and starting with the low income, what we're proposing is the increase go from $7.39 to $8.16. That's a increase of 77 cents in that bracket. Half can, 10 to $11.05, which is a $1.05 increase. If you use one can, that rate would move from $14.23 to $15.72. That's a $1.49 increase. Two can rate would be $21.83 is presently being paid now. That would jump to $24.12, an increase of $2.29. And the last three can rate would go from $26.55 to $29.33, which is a $2.78 increase.
Now, that's the monthly increase, so that your bills would actually reflect twice that, because you get billed every 2 months. So we're still talking somewhere between $3 and $6 for a billing cycle.
That's correct. It'd be a little less than $6 for the full three can rate, and as much as and for the low would be about under $1.50.
The other night at Finance Committee, this was discussed, and there was some mention of trying to structure the rate so that, similar to water rates, if you use more, you pay more. If you send more to the landfill, it's going to cost you more. And in a sense, you have that with the extra cans. But there was a desire to really try and encourage people to recycle. We haven't had the time to really try and do any of that fine-tuning, because that I don't want to rush into that. So tonight we're just talking franchise fee increase. Anna Jane, there's a rate increase in addition to the franchise fee, but we're not structuring it.
You have to, the ordinance has to have the structure of the rate increase in it. And so tonight you have to approve the structure of the rate increase in order for the ordinance to be presented at the next meeting.
Yes.
I'm sorry for the misunderstanding.
Okay.
Yeah. And just maybe a comment from me is that I guess my personal take on the rate structure is that, it was pointed out to me by Tom Martin at Mission Country Disposal, that some other cities who are a lot larger and have a lot more commercial customers will actually charge a larger, a higher rate to those commercial customers so that they can keep the rates lower to residential. As you can see by our schedules, we don't have a huge number of commercial customers, so that doesn't work, but that is one option. But I would really encourage the district to consider more outreach and education on the subject of recycling as probably a better way to increase that.
I would agree. That should be the first approach. It seems likely. Director Sennett.
I notice there's an item in their budget for outreach, and I'm wondering if in our rates we don't already pay for that, and do we know that if they have anything in their outreach program that helps us in any way in terms of, in light that we're paying for it, it seems. What are we getting for that?
I have, do you want me to answer that? We actually did not do any outreach in this current fiscal year because of the budget constraints, so we cut out, so we have not even had a Bear Pride. Oh, and so that outreach was either, for most of the other funds, it was specific to the Bear Pride, so putting it back in the budget is the hope. Is that what you're talking about?
No. What I'm getting at is I thought this was their... They offered a budget of what their costs were and what they their operating costs
were. Oh, yeah, that's their operating costs.
And they have outreach, so what is that for?
Oh, I see what you're saying. That I don't really know. I don't know if Julie knows.
Director Tacker.
I think we have a Mission Country Disposal representative in the room. If he can answer some of these questions, if we allow.
That would be great. If you have anything to add to that discussion about... and I would imagine periodic mailers. It's not like I sift through my bill very carefully, but there may be something in there to encourage recycling occasionally. Right.
Yeah, my name is Frank Silva. I'm the supervisor for this area. A lot of the outreach programs are done through the Integrated Waste Management, which is a state-run, county-run organization. They do a lot of education through schools and stuff. We do have mailers that we do supply to people in the area, especially when we notice they're not recycling properly. We send out packets to those homes, and we explain to them the proper way to recycle. And usually in time, they end up recycling more. And we don't charge per the size of the containers. We have the 32, 64, and 96-gallon containers, and they're all the same rate because they're all applied to the garbage fee. So the more you recycle, you can reduce your garbage, and it all works hand in hand.
That probably is the most important thing in outreach, is to make sure people know what really belongs in that recycle bin and what's going to contaminate that load. And so it's the same price whether you have the large recycle bin or the small one.
Yeah, 32-gallon or 96-gallon, it really does not... There's no difference in cost.
It's I'm going to trade my small one for a big one because the lid falls off now anyway. It's broken.
Just takes a phone call. We'll get you a new one.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, thank you. And at this time, we'll take a public comment on this item. No public... Okay, we've got one. We got a taker.
Hi, Fred Delgado, Los Sosos. I just had a couple questions, suggestions. How about putting all the garbage cans on one side of the street? So instead of having six trucks drive by each pickup, we only have three. Maybe they can save some gas. And I also wonder about driver training, if they get trained about how to drive around bicycles and pedestrians, that sort of thing. And also I wonder about the garbage flying out of the trucks as they go back to San Luis down Los Sosos Valley Road. Thank you.
Well, I know that there are requirements to tarp, and every load's got to be tarped and contained. Now, that's not to say that things don't fly out. Garbage trucks. Yeah, they're required to... have that load contained. I mean, I've heard this same discussion in San Luis with people who live along 227 on the way to Cold Canyon, and it's impossible to contain everything, but given the amount that goes out there, I think it's pretty fair that there's not a lot of loss. Yeah, and in terms of staging the cans and driver training, I would suggest you maybe work directly with and submit those suggestions directly to Mission, because I don't know how much we can influence that. Yes.
I was just going to say that carrying the cans to the other side of the road, some of the streets are busy, and you tell your kids to take the cans out if you're that lucky, and they'll do it. It could be a dusk or something, and there's traffic hazards you'd have to consider, too.
And you might have to pay the kids more.
And if people leave their cans out, I wouldn't want my neighbor to leave his can out in front of my house either.
Yes, Mr. Margetson.
Richard Margetson. The reason the franchise fee was reduced the last couple of years, or we took a lower franchise fee and kept the rates the same, was because the district had accumulated a reserve in this account that was over $250,000. The district borrowed that for other purposes, and you know, there's very little left in that account at this point. Increasing the franchise fee, which could be increased to any percentage, it doesn't have to be 10%, it could be 20, is going to net the district substantially greater revenues than it has in the past. We're looking at the difference between last year and this year in this example of $85,000. And I know the argument of trying to spread costs across the district for administration, but what I'd like to hear, and I think the community deserves to hear from you, is what are your intentions for, you know, $158,000 franchise fee when you have very little expense tied in percentage, in proportion to that number, for carrying out chipping days and cleanup days. You've already gotten rid of Sam. So there's going to be a substantial sum of money available, and I think we deserve to know what your plans are for that money. Thank you.
Director Sparks.
I can briefly state I would like to see it go towards administration. In the budget that was passed last week, there was upwards of $80,000 coming out of reserves from water for the upcoming year budget. I would like to reduce that burden on water.
Yes.
George Taylor, I don't want to burden you with a lot of verbiage here, but I do want to say that I'm afraid from Steve's comments that we are becoming gentrified here in Los Osos. We can't abide putting our trash barrels across the street. They can be on my side, they can be on your side, but I think we have to think about what is best for the welfare of the community, not just whether it inconveniences a little bit. So I would say that is a damn good suggestion that we put all of the trash barrels on one side, and it saves half the pickup. Thank you.
Anyone know of a funding source that we can get a grant to study whether or not we'd really save anything by putting all the cans on one side of the street? See me. Yeah, I just see problems with basically kids crossing the street with cans and people too. You know, not that it's not worthwhile to consider every suggestion in terms of trying to save money, but I to mandate something like that, it seems to me that you might be opening yourself up to a claim if there is ever any kind of incident like that. And yes,
Dave Dunglow Sosos, and I'll tell you that Mission Disposal has already figured that out. They have somebody there that has figured out how which side the trash cans should be on, what side of the street that the truck should run up and down, so they can use less gas, less trips, and they figure that out. Don't worry your heads on that. I remember that you guys took a reduced rate in the franchise fee to so the people of Los Osos wouldn't take a hit on the rate increase last time. And I don't know anything about gentrification here, but I don't see anything wrong with the increase, because you saved them taking the hit last time, and you took the hit, the CSD did. So I don't see anything wrong with that. I did have major complaints with Mission at one time that their guys would pick up their trash or whatever would not only just pick up and empty the cans, but some of them would actually move the cans in the middle of the driveway. So whoever has to bring them out of their driveway would have to get out of their car for that. And I complained about that several times. And that's my only beef with Mission, but no, there's no justification going here if you're going to increase the rates. I think they It was reduced. Their hit was not reduced, but it wasn't. They didn't take one last time, and so I don't see anything wrong with it. Thank you.
You know, I don't see anything wrong with take if you want to take your can across the street, but I wouldn't advise it to anybody. I myself live on a cul-de-sac street, very low volume, and personally, I have taken my can across, and I think I'll make it a habit because it would be one less stop that they would have to make, you know, going down. But they have to stop at some time. You know what? Come think of it, I'll leave it where it is because they stop on the downhill so they have more inertia. So, you know, the point is we can think this thing, analyze it to bits, but as a practice, I think, you know, the traffic concerns outweigh the benefits to make it a policy.
Yes.
Frank Casilio, Los Osos, and I agree with Steve. There's streets that are very busy, San Isabel, and I can't see people putting trash containers, recycling containers across the street on one side or the other. 11th Street is a pretty busy street. There's people who fly on 11th Street very fast. I've been here 30 years, and I've seen people speed. In fact, I was hit, had an accident myself on 11th Street where a person just pulled out in front of me. Fortunately, I wasn't speeding. So, and there's a number of the elderly people in this community. We have a number of people where I live. This looks like you want to speak, Jack. A number of people I live that are in their 80s, and I can't see them hauling. I, in fact, go over and put their trash cans up closer so they don't have to walk as far. So those are considerations. I think it's a good idea to study ways to save it and not make that type of decision tonight. Thank you.
I just don't even think that's within our purview to tell Mission how to go around and picking up, doing their job. We're really studying or considering a rate increase tonight, and that's pretty much it. Any further public comment on this issue?
Hi, Alon Perlman. These extraneous activities that the CCD is involved with do create expenses of administration. So since this is really a slam dunk, it is a rather large increase, but it's a difference of about $5 or $6 in a monthly bill. But there are certain other bills that people in Los Osos are going to have to face, probably totaling $500 a month if we can't solve the water crisis. So I would recommend you spend the least amount of time approving this as possible, because $5 versus $500 is where we need to set priorities. Thank you.
Any other public comment tonight? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for discussion. Director Sparks?
Just briefly, I hope this is a preview of our board meetings 5 years down the road, where the most pressing issue in Los Osos is which side of the street to put our garbage cans. Because I know my wife probably won't mind taking it to the other side of the street.
Director Tacker.
Mr. Margetson brings up a good point in what is our intention to do with the money. The district's in a situation, and we've passed a budget to try to get to recover. And something that when those large reserves were accruing, we used to have strategic planning sessions, and we used to have a strategic plan that we would go by. And I don't know if people know or remember that the district's goal, or had some goals related to solid waste, in that they perhaps one day would have a sort of a transfer station for hazardous materials, like Morro Bay has a place where you can take your waste oil or your battery or your cleaning fluids and paints and those kinds of things. And, you know, we may set those goals again if we have that kind of money available. And so, it's worth talking about. But right now we're in a recovery mode, and I think that's exactly why we need to do what we have to do. And I'd be happy to make the motion to accept staff recommendation.
I'll second it.
And I believe we need a roll call vote on this because it's going to lead to an ordinance.
Mr. Murphy, is that motion adequate? Or
I believe your motion would be to accept staff's recommendation and direct staff to prepare the ordinance and schedule the hearing for the adoption of the ordinance.
Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Sparks?
Yes.
President Cecilia?
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to general action item B. Consider selection of LAFCO special district member from the ballot received May 31st, 2007. And I think this is necessary because there were not enough people in attendance at the annual meeting and the election didn't happen. There is a staff report in the packets. I assume it's over on the side also. This what's going on here is that I'll just read the letter from Paul Hood. Two individuals have been nominated to fill the special district member vacancy on the San Luis Obispo Local Agency Formation Commission, otherwise known as LAFCO. The term expires in December of 2010. The two nominees are as follows: Barbara Mann and William Miller. Nomination period expired on May 30th, 2007. Government code states that at the end of the nomination period, executive officer shall prepare and deliver or send by certified mail to each independent special district one ballot and voting instructions. The ballot is attached. Each independent special district may vote for one nominee. So that is what we'll be doing tonight, voting for one of the two nominees or not. We submit a ballot without any names on it. We have that option also. And at this point, we'll take public comment on whether we should nominate Barbara Mann or vote for Barbara Mann or William Miller as the LAFCO representative.
Just briefly, at the meeting of the special districts in Templeton that President Sassine and I attended, there wasn't a quorum, so they could not take a vote. And at that time, Barbara Mann was the only nominee.
Yes.
Richard Margetson. If you remember, Barbara Mann was the chair of LAFCO when we went through dissolution, and no matter what side you were on, my problem with her deals with the very verifying. And I went down to Oceano on behalf of defending this community, because she took pot shots at this community when our level of service is far superior to theirs. And those guys, they're all volunteers and they do great jobs, but the overall level of service ours is beats theirs 2-1. That's my problem with Barbara Mann. So if I had a vote, I don't even know the other gentleman, but it wouldn't be Barbara Mann.
Any additional public comment?
Gwen Taylor. I also concur with Mr. Markison, but also I would like to say that it's unfortunate that she does not have her facts true and to the point. And unfortunately, she has a tendency to pick and choose what she wants to listen to. We all have a certain amount of that, but to degrade any group of persons, such as Los Osos, when people get up to speak and she degrades them because they're from Los Osos, that's wrong, period. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment tonight?
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. I remember Barbara Mann. I remember the remarks she made about the fire department and how, unfortunately, I telegraphed that we were going to be at their next meeting, and they ducked us. They actually did not show up and didn't tell half the people that were going to be there that they weren't going to show up. And then I remembered that Oceano, whenever you say something like we're going to be there to confront you on something, in Oceano, that probably means something different than it does here. So I didn't consider the fact that they had a greater fear level there. But at the dissolution hearing, at all of them, she showed a bias that just would not quit. And she was always angry and upset about Los Osos. And talk about being upset about a community like ours compared to what they go through there. I had people, when we showed up there at their CSD meeting, a few of them walked up to us and says, "Oh, we're so glad you guys showed up. We're so glad that you came here." I didn't know why. Why were they so glad? Probably because Barbara...
Okay, any additional public comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring this back to the board. Is there any discussion here? Director Tacker, anybody?
Okay. I'll just say that I won't support a ballot that goes with Barbara Mann, and I don't know the other gentleman, so I would elect that we send a ballot that is blank.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Not that it's going to help a lot, but Mr. Miller is a board member of a very small water district, I think east of Santa Margarita. Something I can't remember. Garden something, I think.
Thank you.
I won't support a ballot that goes with Barbara Mann, and I don't know Mr. Miller, the other gentleman, and so my suggestion is that we send a ballot that is blank.
Any other comment from the directors?
I would concur with Director Tacker in that since I simply do not know Mr. Miller, I don't think I could make an informed enough decision on this, and I would support sending a ballot with no names on it.
Were I to vote, it would be more of a vote for Mr. Miller because I'm not about to vote for Barbara Mann. So I would have to agree that maybe it's better and wiser just not to put anything on the ballot. What do you feel?
Well, we could return a ballot and just white out Barbara Mann's name, but not check Miller's.
Ms. Hugh, do we have the option of a write-in ballot?
Okay, I nominate Director Sparks to be the LAFCO representative. it looks like the pleasure of the board seems to be to send the ballot back empty, no action. Wow, record pace. General action item C, appoint alternate member to serve on the Environmental Review Advisory Committee. Now, it's my own personal feeling, since this item, Mr. Reich has had an application in for a while, that then the board's had time to look at it, that we're probably inclined to move on this positively. And so what I'd like to hear from the public is if you have a reason we shouldn't do that, maybe take a minute or so and step to the lectern and make your case. And certainly you're welcome to speak either way. Thank you. Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Now, we have to drag this out till 9 o'clock to call Jay. No, we don't. We can call him early, I'm sure. General action item D, review of the Piranha system at Fire Station 15. We have a staff report from Mr. Milanes tonight on that.
Yes, thank you. This week I attended the meeting of the Emergency Services Committee. Staff, as well as President Cecina, had asked the Piranha system that was installed in their septic tank be reviewed and make a recommendation to the board as to the future of the utilization of that unit. Staff did look at several documents with regard to the unit. We also reviewed water quality results and went one step further and pulled up our results from Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro. Those are two community septic systems the district operates. Those water quality results went back to August of 2000 when the district was formed, and we've continued to monitor that on a twice a year basis. Just a little history on the unit. The unit was authorized by Interim General Manager Dan Bleski in March 2006, and it was at a request to demonstrate it's an aerobic system that is basically placed in the septic tanks. And the purpose was to demonstrate that it could meet the waste discharge order R3-2003-007, mandated by the Regional Water Quality Control Board on effluent limitations. The unit was installed, has operated for over a year. I produced a report in memo form and delivered that to the Emergency Services Committee the other night. And essentially, my recommendation, and I'll just read straight from what I've got in your before you in your packet, is based on the available information and water quality results reviewed, staff concludes there is no evidence to support the claims the Piranha Sludge Hammer P86 unit can attain the mandated water quality parameters required in the waste discharge order. Staff recommends the board authorize staff to contact Dr. Wickham, and in accordance with the scope of service agreement dated March 24 on the unit.
First of all, thank you for finally putting this report together. I don't mean finally putting the report together. I mean, I'm glad we finally have a report, and I don't know why it took us so long to ask you to put this together. Chief Anaris, did you have anything to add to that, or...
No, I do not.
Thank you for helping us get to 9 o'clock.
You know, I rely on George's experience and opinion on this, and that's one of those things we discussed it, and I'm totally supporting whatever the board will do. I would note that the ESC did review George's report last Tuesday and did recommend that it gets removed as well.
I guess I have one comment, and it seems to me, if I remember right, the whole the original intent of the Piranha was to more or less unclog leach fields. It wasn't really meant as a denitrification product. He thought he could achieve some of that, and I'm wondering, was it a problem with leach fields that clogging leach fields that led us to put this in? Or was it strictly a nitrogen removal project? And
well,
George,
let me
you can probably answer that.
Yeah, there was a scope of service agreement that was authorized that basically got this going. And the purpose specifically was to demonstrate the unit could meet the waste discharge order. So specifically, that was the intent. It wasn't about leach fields. I don't believe the fire department there was any issue with leach fields. As a matter of fact, the scope of service looked to set lysimeters around the leach pit or leach field. Just for those of those you aren't familiar with lysimeters, these are units that you can put in the ground and allow you to extract if there's moisture there up through it. We were trying to demonstrate, or the intent was to demonstrate nitrogen reduction, actually denitrification. With regard to lysimeter units, it's my understanding. Now, please, I do want to state a disclaimer. I was not involved with the installation or at any point in the process of assessing or trying to demonstrate this unit. I'm just reporting what my understanding was. These lysimeters, they were not able to extract any sample. So virtually years using Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro, and the total nitrogen numbers we have collected through laboratory sampling of those two sites, and the few analysis performed on the septic tank system at the firehouse, total nitrogen values were 50, 49, and 48, respectively. That's Bay Ridge, Vista de Oro, and fire station. So we're talking, you know, literally 2 milligrams per liter on the weighted average. So, to me, they pretty much are operating as septic tanks. And just for clarity, the Bay Ridge Vista de Oro systems, there isn't any modified system or any, you know, magic bugs that we use in those tanks. So this is pretty much what Mother Nature does. So again, staff stands by our recommendation.
Did you have something to add, Director Sennett?
You know, it was my understanding from, and this was from testimony that Dr. Wickham gave at the ACL hearings regarding the treatment of denitrification through the vadosome, that the piranha afforded better pore transparency and somehow facilitated the denitrification in that respect. So the lysimeters were, you know, at least in testing the theory, critical in determining if it actually produced benefit to the discharge to the aquifer. As far as the discharge out of the elbow outlet pipe, yeah, it's probably, you know, that the data is clear, it's not beneficial in that respect. But from an efficiency standpoint of the leach field or leach pit, what is the impact of it? And I think that's what he was really trying to test. So it might be premature to discount the value of it in terms of benefiting the receiving groundwater. I would like to hear his, you know, Dr. Wickham's concerns about, you know, just testing the outlet, because that it doesn't have a lot of residency. It doesn't have the necessary biological process within for a reason, and I feel like it wasn't really analyzed in the light that it was put in. From standpoint of being an on-site system that's going to satisfy the discharge requirement, no. But as far as improving groundwater conditions, could be valuable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it might be a moot point and it's not worth going through.
You said you could not get readings from lysimeters that were installed.
I understand there wasn't enough moisture they could actually draw. Now, I agree with Steve. There's, in any type of piloting testing, the control and the means of mimicking or really getting a handle on the environment to have credible results and analysis, it's pretty in-depth. It could have been basically there's just not enough discharge. Had the firehouse have 9, 10, 12, firemen there, they're all using the facilities, the washer, dryer, similar to a home, there you may have gotten the flow that would produce the amount of moisture needed to be collected in the lysimeters. Just a note, and I'll throw it out there, the first request for this unit was to be set up in the Bay Ridge or Vista Oro systems. But due to the volume, we are talking, and I'm talking about the capacity in the tanks, the difference between the firehouse tank, and I don't know what that is, maybe 1,000 gallons, maybe 1,250 gallons, that requires one unit. Our tanks are, one tank is 5,000 gallons. So we were talking not one unit, but multiple units to try to simulate what one septic tank. And I'll also add, there besides the costs were prohibitive for Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro, and those are special assessments we collect to run those systems. I did have Weber Hayes, which is a hydro a geotechnical firm. They were involved with the mitigation of the plume under the Vons, if anyone remembered that a few years ago from the gas station. Anyhow, these guys, that's what they do, monitor substrates, develop systems to nitrify. But besides the upfront cost to set up, you know, and I think we were talking maybe 10 of these units per tank, the lysimeters, the way we designed it using the leach fields at Bay Ridge, The quote was at $96,000. So we're not talking $1,000 to check out a system which was spent at the firehouse. This was a substantial investment. The idea was thrown out, and we basically went with the firehouse. They also were looking to do something at the water yard, and we didn't do anything at the water yard. But that's kind of an overview of how this system evolved. It looked from a very large, defendable to, we're going to do what we can do there and see what happens.
Would you make sure that the Regional Water Quality Control Board gets a copy of your report?
I can forward that copy.
Yeah, they expressed interest in that Tuesday night. They'd like to see it.
Okay.
I would like to see something added on to this report. I didn't notice anything, but that the intended, or that the samples were not drawn from the ground beneath the leach fields, and so could not demonstrate yes or no whether denitrification was improved. And I think that would be fair, because I could see where this could be turned around and they discount it as whatever it would prejudice, whatever information Dr. Wickham has on his system. We need to qualify it for what it is. It doesn't have the impact on the outlet of the septic tank, and that's limited to that. Mm-hmm. And not imply that, I want to tell them that it could have beneficial impacts to the leachate coming out of the leach field. It's not to say that it doesn't. We just can't qualify it.
Understood. Again, what I'd like to make clear here, I don't want to be... I don't want to be the hatchet man here, but this report, as I stated in the report, strictly looks at the information provided to staff, and it was pretty much, it meets.
We say additionally, inlet and outlet component risers and lids were installed, and you mentioned the three lysimeters with the intent to sample and monitor effluent quality in the substrate soils and within the vicinity of the leach field pit. And that kind of sets a stage to say that, kind of implied that this is a study. Here's what we found. We put lysimeters in, and therefore, conclusions could be drawn unless they say, yeah, but your samples were drawn from the tank, from the outlet of the tank, and not from the lysimeters. And we need to make that clear.
Yeah, and I can do that. That's okay. Understood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you, George. I think at this point we'll take public comment on this item.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. First of all, wow, no moisture below the testers. Is that water actually reaching the waters of the state? Is that waste actually reaching the aquifer if you're not getting any samples, if it's dry, or if it's going in a different direction? And I think the problem also, too, is that maybe they needed to expand the leach fields as well to try to get a better result, if anything. But there's not enough people there at one time to make that work. $96,000, was that the quote, to set up something for Bay Ridge? And that's a lot of difference from 6.5 million or whatever the fine is. The basin plan does allow for a 1-year pilot program. Oh yeah, if we a year ago jumped on a grant to do that, then we probably wouldn't have to be worrying about that, or at least looking at the end result. And I'm sure there's $96,000 in grants for at least one of those available. I would recommend looking at that. If you can find a grant to pay for it, and the basin plan says it's allowable, they can allow for what's called an experimental system. And if it reduces, it does. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Then it's paid for by the people, the states, or the feds, whoever cares, who cares. At least we tried. And I think that's worth looking into. Yeah, and I think it should say in whatever you guys send to the regional board that you weren't able to get readings because there was no moisture. And that's pretty telling. It's not...
I'm going to talk to Dr. Wickham, but I never did get a chance. There were some individuals working on other agendas. So cutting to the chase, it's all a matter of science and regulatory strategy. From a regulatory strategy, what you have here is you've made a good faith effort to address the ACL. That's plain and simple. It was a good faith effort. Now, the tragedy would be if we don't have any data, because Steve got it right as far as what the water board wants. The water board will only care about what's exiting the septic tank outflow. That's it. It doesn't matter, you know, whether it gets cleaned a fraction of an inch beneath the soil, or even if it drips down and the nitrates become elemental nitrogen and float out into the air. The bottom line is they've defined their strategy as far as how they're going to handle it, but you have a legitimate attempt to address it. When you stop the system, you stop that attempt. As far as the data that's collected, that's highly questionable because data is worthless without a procedure manual and clarification as to the samplings, the training that the sampler took, and so forth. I think it's unfortunate that Dr. Wickham was not able to have direct oversight over the results. And it's also, to truly be a scientific experiment, what you really need to do is take the streams out of the... Basically, you need two septic tanks, one with a piranha, identical septic tanks, one with a piranha, one without, and you need to split the stream out of, say, the firehouse and see what actually happens. Without that, you have nothing. So there's a lot of data here. In the bigger picture, septic tanks outside the prohibition zone are threatening our groundwater. And this is a tragedy because this system actually could have a contribution to particularly those. Within the prohibition zone, the water board would not allow us, as I say, to drop anything from the tank. But the septic tanks outside of the prohibition zone, particularly those who are not on 1-acre lots, are our next problem. So hopefully we can go in that direction. Thank you.
There was a test by Black and Veatch with all of the houses from Bay Ridge Estates going into one leach field. They had a very hard time getting any moisture in a lysimeter at 6 foot under the leach field. But at that point, the test they got, the leachate was lower in nitrogen concentration than the groundwater under it. This was pointed out at the April 28th hearing when we had the water board beat hands down. They cannot prove that we are polluting the groundwater with our leach fields, especially if there's over 6 feet of unsaturated sand beneath the leach field. As far as what's coming out of a septic tank being 49, 48, 49, 50. The fact is that the average is between 45 and 55 coming out of a septic tank. The tests that were made, the samples that were taken in October of 2005, 1 month before the ACL hearings, I think he may even know who took the samples. One well that never tested over 20 and tested July before at 17 and tested November at 19, tested at 52 milligrams per liter. That's 2 milligrams per liter over the average coming out of a septic tank. We need to put one of those whatever sledgehammers into a Bay Ridge Estates with all the houses running into one leach field, and see if we can get a test with a lysimeter. Water goes from wet to dry. It doesn't go straight down. If you drop a drop of water in a blotter or a sponge, it spreads out. It does go down, but it spreads to dry. That's why it's so hard to get a lysimeter test in this sand, because it is so absorbent. And it is also the best filter we can get. It beats the hell out of MBR, whatever they are, at $500,000 a set that last, now we find out, 3 to 5 year lifespan. Thank you.
Any further public comment on this item? Okay.
Past the year, and is, so Mr. Wickham is willing now to take it out, and we're not obligated for the $4,300.
That is correct.
Okay. And that's based on other correspondence that's not in the staff report?
My understanding at this point is that Mr. Wickham had kind of, you know, just didn't, you know, care either way. And, you know, it was pretty, you know, pretty much whatever the district wants to do that he was willing to go along with.
Yes, Director Sennett.
I don't know. I think he may just decide that it's not worth his time to take it out, and I would leave it open. If he wants to take it out, fine. If he wants to leave it in place, I think it's a great therapeutic device, and it keeps the leach field clean. It doesn't may not have any impact on the discharge levels. And that's not essential at this point, but it has a beneficial impact on the leach field just to keep it clean. And if it doesn't cost the district anything, I would just as soon he'd leave it in if it's at no cost to us, except for the power and whatnot. If at any time it fails, we can disconnect it, and it's of no consequence to us.
Director Tacker.
Having sat in on the Emergency Services Committee discussion on this, there are costs related to this for the district. Yes, there's a power bill. It's probably not terribly significant, but continue to monitor and the sampling, that's quite costly. And we would also have to hire someone qualified to be taking those samples. And I'm sure that was the ongoing cost that the Emergency Services Committee was not likely or was not interested in continuing.
I would agree with that we shouldn't be paying for monitoring any longer, that it just be in place. It works the same whether you monitor it or not. And I would say don't monitor it except in the normal course of inspecting the function of the tank.
To see if it would be more effective in denitrification. So if we were going to leave anything in there, and I would take them up on that and then get the data on that. But to me, it's that option or take it out. But again, the ongoing cost to the fire, it's not a lot, but it is money that's coming out essentially out of reserves, every dollar going to this.
Doesn't the system require periodic inputs to make it function properly?
It has a you have to recharge the bacteria annually, and that cost is about I think it's around $50 to $80 for the bacteria. And you just pull out the plastic rod, tie it on, put it back in. That's it.
You said annually?
Annually.
I think Mr. Milanis has a comment.
If you'd allow me just a second here. In your packet, you'll find the quote. And I just wanted to, again, the recommendation is really just based on the scope of service. In your packet, you'll find the memo, which is the complete agreement with Dr. Wickham and Mr. Bleskett at the time. And basically it was they can purchase it for $4,300 or I retain possession of it. So, I mean, those were the two options. Certainly, you leave it in the tank. It can just live there. But I did include in your packet the cost, and it breaks it down, but each additional year, the new bacteria stick, and they've got here $200, but it looks like that also includes an accredited septic inspection, filing of reports as necessary, are the two other, services they provide for that $200. So it's unclear to me how much of that $200 fee for O&M, as he's got it listed here, is the actual bugs that you're purchasing. But there are acknowledged some additional services that are included in that $200. So I just wanted to clarify that.
With that of staff.
The firehouse has never had problems with any leach field problems in the tank backing up or anything, has it, George?
I don't know. I think that question is better posed to Phil if he's still in the house. But I'm not aware of any.
And you're talking prior to the installation of
right,
the Piranha.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And
just for clarification, my background is in firefighting. I'm not a. Since my arrival, we have not had a backup of the sewer system. I remember Mr. Barrow telling me that when they pumped it out, when to initiate this system, he said the leach field was in a bad condition and, you know, was getting ready to fail. I'm not exactly sure what all that means, but that's what was passed on to me at the time. Since October 2004, though, that's the only time, to my knowledge, it's been pumped out.
Yeah, it was pumped in 05, and it had been some 7 years prior to that the county's had it then. So I don't believe the district was doing due diligence for the system in maintaining it and or monitoring it, but we could be facing a new leach field today. We don't know because we haven't had it adequately tested or had Al check it.
It would have to have had a flow test at that time to determine, you know, the performance of it. But, you know, if it's never backed up and it's been running with the Piranha this long, it probably wouldn't be any bad impact to take it out. It probably would run fine for the next 4 or 5 years, whatever it takes. I'm qualifying that without the Piranha.
I'll entertain a motion for what the board would like to do with this.
I'd make a motion that we follow staff's report and request Mr. Wickham to remove the Piranha.
I would second.
All in favor?
What, can we have discussion on that?
Oh, yeah, discussion, Director.
Okay, and what I would like to see is that if Dr. Wickham comes back with another proposal, that we entertain that at that time if he wants to modify. Dr. Wickham, if he has something to add, he will come back to us, and he's always open to renegotiate something, even if it's to leave it in place, and when I'm going through town, I'll take it out or something.
I think we'll cross that bridge when and if it gets here, and for now we have a motion and a second in front of us. So I would ask that all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Carries.
Mr. President, I would say probably with the time and with the fact that we need public comment on the single closed session agenda item that you at this point open public comment for that one item and then adjourn to closed session.
I agree. I was not about to launch into that last item without being aware of the time. So we're going to take public comment on the reconvening of our closed session.
And that's solely for the purpose of discussing In Re Los Osos Community Services District in the United States Bankruptcy Court.
Any public comment on that item?
Mr. Murphy, is it not also to discuss pending litigation?
That item of pending litigation, I believe, is the sole item on agenda. Am I mistaken? If I'm mistaken, I apologize.
No, that is it.
We had a conversation with another attorney earlier this evening that may trigger the discussion on that item.
Okay. I apologize. There is a potential for three other items to be discussed based on the In Re Los Osos Community Services District discussion. Those would be LOCSD versus SWRCB in Sacramento Superior Court, Barnard versus LOCSD in San Luis Obispo Superior Court, and Montgomery Watson Harza versus LOCSD in San Luis Obispo Superior Court. Those three items may also be discussed.
And we will be reconvening back to open session for the last action item on the agenda and the committee reports after a brief closed session. So at this point, it's comments on the closed session. Yes.
Dave DeLososos. At the town hall meeting, I was relieved to hear, or at least cautionally relieved to hear, that the county is in bankruptcy, and if they interfere, they're costing us more money, more time, and basically they're against the community. So I think perhaps they are going to be standing away from encouraging the state not to give us money for SRF funds or whatever. But anyway, that's what I heard the other night.
Any other public comment on the closed session items that were just mentioned? Okay, we will adjourn to a closed session and reconvene in less than half an hour, I would imagine.